You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, I'm Stephanie Youssef and welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Wednesday, the 3rd of September. It's a day where the Australian share market fell 1.82%. We'll have the details with Matt Sherwood from Perpetual in a few moments. But first to the Australian economy, where GDP expanded by a larger than expected 0.6% in the June quarter to be up 1.8% through the year. It would appear the consumer is continuing to show signs of recovery. To find out what this says about the economy and the implication for interest rates, SBS finance editor Ricardo Gonçalves spoke with NAB chief economist Sally Auld.
Sally, thanks for your time. How would you describe the economy at the moment? Because while it's expanding, it's still relatively low, isn't it?
So the economy grew 0.6% in the June quarter, which was a little bit better than we had expected and the consensus as well. And it leaves the year-ended rate at about 1.8%. And so while that does feel a little bit slow, I think what's important to remember is that it is actually quite a bit faster than we were growing, say, at the end of 2024. And it's not that far away from where the Reserve Bank and other forecasters actually envisage trend growth for the economy, which is probably somewhere between 2 and 2.25. So I think the message here is that, you know, while we might like to see higher rates of economic growth, the momentum that the economy showed in the last couple of quarters is actually really encouraging and tells us, I think, a really definitive story that growth is improving and the worst for the Australian economy is definitely behind us.
What role did the consumer play in this result, given we're seeing the largest lift in household consumption since Q4 2022 and a fall in the savings rate?
That's right. So the consumer or household consumption was really the star of the GDP numbers today. Household spending was up 0.9%, so a really strong outcome. Having said that, the Bureau of Statistics did note a couple of interesting dynamics. And so we saw strong consumption in New South Wales and Queensland, and that was off the back of basically some weather-related events in the first quarter, which saw households perhaps purchase to replace. We also had a number of quite sort of significant sporting events in the quarter. And so when we look at spending on tourism and cafes and restaurants, that was up very strongly. But I do think there is a quite a compelling message, and we've seen this in partial data through the quarter in early Q3 as well, that the household sector is now starting to open its wallets a little bit more and really contribute to the sense that private demand is now playing a much more important role in driving growth than it has perhaps over the last 18 months or so, which is a good thing for the economy.
What about the government? Because public investment was the largest detractor from growth and was the largest fall since 2017, excluding COVID. What's the message here?
Yeah, so an interesting story there. So there are two parts to the government's role in all of this. So there's government investment and government spending. And government spending was up in the quarter, but as you note, government investment was down. And the story there is actually probably not as bad as it seems, in the sense that we know that a number of state governments and the federal government as well have been running really big investment projects on infrastructure, so rail for example, but also big projects in health. And as those projects approach completion, which a number of them did in the second quarter, what that means is that the actual aggregate outcomes for government investment are not going to be as strong as they have been in prior quarters. So I think that goes back to what we were talking about earlier, which is the really encouraging story in the GDP numbers is a bit more of the demand story driven by the private sector and the government playing less of a role in underpinning growth.
We just had the productivity roundtable in Canberra. What do the figures today say about productivity?
Yeah, so for the first time in a long time, you know, we finally got a positive productivity outcome in the quarter. So we've had a number of quarters where the productivity outcomes have been quite disappointing, but productivity growth actually grew 0.2% in the second quarter of the year. And it would be really lovely if we could sort of see that as the start of a new trend for productivity growth. The Reserve Bank, you know, despite lowering its sights on productivity growth over the medium term, does still anticipate a pickup in productivity growth in coming quarters. And these data today, I think, give us the first inkling that we might be on, I guess, a slightly better trajectory when it comes to something that's so fundamental for not just anchoring GDP growth, but also helping drive out growth in standards of living here in Australia.
So given this is about the consumer and a bit of a pickup in demand, what do you think this means for the RBA? The market is expecting a rate cut sometime this year, maybe September, possibly November. Does it change things?
No, I don't think this really changes things. Certainly doesn't for us at NAB. You know, we expect the Reserve Bank to deliver another rate cut in November. And I do actually think that upcoming unemployment rate and also inflation data are going to be more consequential for the timing of that decision. But generally speaking, I think the bank would be encouraged by today's results, because what they would tell the Reserve Bank is that the rate cuts are actually starting to work, and that's a good thing on its own. But remember that this is an economy that is still, on today's numbers, growing below trend. And so for that reason, while we have inflation pretty close to the target, and while we have the labour market broadly in full employment, and the economy probably deserving of a little bit more support, I think it does allow scope for some further modest easing from the Reserve Bank over the next 6 months or so.
That's Sally Auld from NAB speaking with Ricardo Gonsalves. Turning to the Australian share market now, which fell 1.82%. All of the 11 sectors finished in the red, the worst performing sector, information technology. For more, Raina Sarampayat spoke with Matt Sherwood, the head of investment strategy at Perpetual.
Well, Matt Sherwood, the Australian market today, it's another bad day, down for a fourth day.
Yeah, it was a loss of around 1.5%. So that's about the worst down day since early April. So it's about a 5-month low. Losses in all sectors and losses in all key gauges around the region. Quite a negative day today.
So what do you think explains it? Of course, there was a weak lead from Wall Street, some bond market ructions, and also I think last night was the first chance for trading in the US after the Federal Appeals Court ruled that many of President Trump's tariffs were illegal, and that was on Friday night.
Well, yes, I think there's several catalysts for the sell-off in Australia. We did have the negative lead from Wall Street, as you said. I think the biggest issue with the Wall Street lead wasn't so much the court ruling, it was the backup we're now getting in US and pretty much global bond yields. That in Australia is colliding head first with very rich valuations. And what we know so far this year is the market's rallied 8% in Australia, but earnings growth's down 4%. So the market has factored in a lot of good news, which hasn't been here, at least on the earnings front. But we did get a pretty good GDP report today. It came in above expectations. It came in, you know, fairly close to trend. The makeup was quite constructive, you know, led by the consumer. So I tend to think all of that seemed to point in the direction that the economy is a bit better, but it also does come at a cost, because, you know, I don't think the RBA is likely to be easing rates in September, which some in the market saw as a possible support for equity prices.
So less chance of a September rate cut. What's your bet for the next rate movement?
Well, I don't think there's a lot. I don't think this cutting cycle for the RBA is going to be particularly deep. I still think that households are sitting on hordes of cash with the tax cuts we got, you know, earlier this year. You know, I tend to think that things are just looking a little bit more constructive on the growth front. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the RBA only had one more rate cut. I doubt they're going to be easing more than that unless the growth outlook deteriorated. And at the same time, the US Federal Reserve is also, there's questions around their easing cycle, which is ahead, because at Jackson Hole, Fed Chair Powell kind of laid the framework down for a rate easing in September, talking about the downside risk to the labour market. And I certainly do agree that the case for an easing is there, but I don't think it's particularly strong. And it's not just one easing the US market's priced in. In the next year, they're expecting the Fed to cut rates on 5 occasions. And I tend to think we might get 2 at the most, but I don't think there's any need in the US for a deep or prolonged cutting cycle because core inflation now is 3% and rising. Growth to me looks a bit better than what the Fed thinks it does. There is the impact from tariffs coming quite clearly. But to me, the private sector, with its income growth and its balance sheet, are in a pretty good position to be able to digest that. So I think, much like Australia, rate expectations are getting overripe for the environment that we have.
Many uncertainties both here and abroad for local investors to watch. Where do you think the opportunities for those investors lie right now?
I tend to think it's a bit of a challenging backdrop because every asset class and region has issues around it, whether it be the growth outlook, the inflation outlook, what central banks can actually deliver, let alone what equity valuations are. So, my suggestion at the moment to investors is actually to focus on risk management. We've had pretty good gains this year, particularly in overseas markets. But I tend to think that we're coming into some difficult seasonality, and a lot of good news has been priced in, which just may simply not eventuate. So, my suspicion is investors should look for risk management, perhaps look for markets which more of the return is going to come from income, and to probably not be exacerbating the very rich returns we've seen since the middle of April, because I still think there's some pretty serious questions out there on the on how much further asset prices, at least this year, can go. So I'd be focusing on risk management, taking some profits, and looking, waiting for the markets to stabilize because broader opportunities might come.
That was Matt Sherwood from Perpetual, and that wraps up the podcast for this Wednesday. Ricardo will be back tomorrow. I'm Stephanie Yusuf. Thanks for your company.
This SBS On the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.